What's going on, everybody? Happy Thirsty Thursday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets Live at FTN. We are here. We've been waiting for this moment. Chris Meany and Mike Randall here with you. Randall hasn't slept in, I don't know, since well before March Madness.
It's very true, man. I mean, we go from college basketball and living with Clemson, trying to get to the Final Four. And now I am sitting here like Don Quixote fighting windmills. JJ, you still have a chance. It's Rocky. It's round 15. We have a chance because your odds haven't moved, Chris. This is my life. This is what I do.
And I love it. Yeah, this is what you do. This is why we're having you on it one more time here. You joined me about a month ago. It was your first version of your NFL mock draft. The latest version is live over at FTNFantasy.com. We have a link inside the description of this video with your mock draft. And you've been following Mike along here over the past little bit. You're subbed over at FTN Fantasy. You've noticed hopping in the Discord and in the bet tracker with a few of your favorite props. So we're going to talk about a couple of those today. I know you've been on JJ McCarthy for a bit, and we've seen the rise kind of in your favor over the last 6 to 8 weeks. So we'll see how that does play out tonight. As I said, we'll talk some props and things. You guys have any questions at Randall Rant, at Chris Meany. You're watching the replay of the show. You can leave any kind of question you have in the comment section. You're listening on iTunes and Spotify. We do appreciate you guys hopping over and subscribing to our FTN YouTube page. Smash the like button and subscribe is the key word here, because we're going to have a lot of content coming out immediately after the draft as these players are getting selected by their new teams. The analysis we're going to have as well, and look for some future Mean Streets episodes where we will dive into some of the rankings and their fantasy output from a dynasty and a redraft standpoint. Of course, Jeff Ratcliffe will have his projections live tonight as well. Mike, what other things can we look forward to seeing at FTN tonight?
Yeah, we're thrilled, guys. So what we want to do is provide you original content, actionable content. So we sat here and said, what are you going to do in the NFL draft? Well, what you're probably going to do is sit in front of your television, maybe put your helmet on your team, and you're going to root to see who you get. So the question is, as fantasy people, what do you want to hear? Well, you're going to watch your show, ESPN NFL Network, but then you're going to want the fantasy react. And that's what we're going to give you here on our social accounts, IG, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, wherever. We're going to put out rapid reactions of the first, second, third, fourth, fifth round picks that are fantasy related. Jeff Ratcliffe has all his projections. We have a live blog here where we're going to give reacts. Aaron Schatz, of course, fantastic as always, is going to be in there right away with the quarterback evals. So that's what we have for you here. You can sit there, have your beverage next to you, react, watch, and then say, you know what? How does this affect me in a fantasy perspective? Maybe I want to do an underdog draft tonight. Promo code FTN. You can do it all here. That's what we're trying to give you. We are for the people, Chris. You know that.
I do know that. I'm a big underdog drafter, and we will do a lot of these at FTN, but I'm one of those, I like to wait to see the teams. I don't like to speculate on some of these rookies, and I know there's value on some of them, but I like to see where they land, and there's going to be value over the next couple of weeks doing these drafts. You're not going to see the rise from some of these rookies. I remember last year with you and Sam Schroederi that we were able to attack players pretty early, and then once we got closer to the NFL season, those players would move up the draft board. So we'll try to identify the values right away and risers and things like that. But before we get to that, we need to break down some NFL draft props and things like that. So Robbie's in the house. He's a big hockey guy, hockey psycho in the house. So welcome, man. We'll talk a little NFL here with you. Mike, I want to just get your thoughts right away. What are you most looking forward to tonight, like at this, for this NFL draft? Like what is one of the bigger storylines for you?
Chris, what I love about this draft, and it's probably the most exciting one that I've seen in a long, long time, is there are pivot points all the way throughout the first round. So I am still holding strong. I have a window open at the bottom of our screen. I'm staring at it because Jaden Daniels is still holding at minus 1,000 to go second. Let me ask you this. How come Caleb Williams is minus 20,000 and we are 8 hours before the darn draft and Caleb Williams only minus 1,000? That leaves the door open that it could be someone like JJ McCarthy, who I like. So that's the first pivot point. Secondly, go down to the back. Is it Neighbors? Is it Adunze? What do the Giants do? Do they trade? Do the Vikings trade up? And then if that's not compelling enough, we have my Brock Bowers hate going to the Jets at 10, which I don't think is going to happen. And then right after that, we have 11, 12, 13. If there's no trades, Vikings, Broncos, Raiders all need a quarterback. My point is there are just so many storylines, soap opera, dramas at each section of the draft that we're going to be excited all the way through. And if you need some more, why not hop on with me with over 9.5 offensive linemen taken in round one? It's been juiced a little bit down, but that's what I'm looking forward to. Will Ladd McConkey go late? These are the sort of things. Aiyuk traded to Pittsburgh. I can go on and on. I don't want to waste your time. There's just a lot of drama, a lot of pivot points, and a lot of unknowns because I think the rumors have tightened up and the people and the GMs are like, look, we're not saying who we're taking, and that has added to the drama and the fun.
Aiyuk to Pittsburgh is a nice little hot take there, sir. I kind of like that one. I feel like San Fran's going to draft a wide receiver, and if they don't want to pay Aiyuk, there you go. We did see A.J. Brown get dealt to the Eagles on draft day just a couple of years ago. You mentioned the offensive lineman. Just looking at the positions from DraftKings, cornerback 5.5. This is the number for the positions here in the first round. Defensive players 10.5, offensive players 21.5, O-line 9.5, juice of the over at 8, minus 180, but I'm with you. I think we probably see that number 11, maybe even 12, man, in this first round. Wide receivers set at 6.5, does seem a touch high for me. Quarterbacks at 4.5, defensive linemen at 6.5, and running back 0.5 in the over. Just have one running back taken in the first round is plus 800. Jake Celia and me discussed that on the SiriusXM FTM Fantasy Show yesterday. We'll be live today at 2 Eastern, and we'll be with you on Friday to break down all the analysis. He loves Ladd, by the way, and he thinks he could end up as a Kansas City Chief or a Buffalo Bill, and those are some pretty good landing spots if Ladd McConkey does go there. But we both agree that we don't think that there's going to be a running back taken in the first round at minus 1,600 for zero running backs in the first round. So that's what we, all three of us, I guess, are on the same page there. Let's start at the quarterback position because, to me, you mentioned a lot of the storylines that you're looking forward to seeing. And for me, I feel like the draft really does start at 4, maybe 3. I think New England's a wild card. We're going to bring up your mock in a little bit, but Caleb Williams is minus 2,000 here to be the first overall pick with the Chicago Bears. It's what we expect to happen. We'll get into him in just a second. Then after that, you mentioned Daniels at minus 1,000, May at 6-1, McCarthy at 11-1, and then pick 3 DraftKings minus 300 for Drake May, McCarthy at plus 180, Daniels at 10-1. And then after that, pick 4, Arizona. What do they do? Do they take a guy in Marvin Harrison Jr.? He is minus 250. Do they trade out of that pick like they did last year? Does a team decide like a Minnesota? What's most fascinating to me is because I feel like the draft starts at 4. And even though I'm a little bit uncertain what the Patriots will do, they've really never been in this situation before. They've had a Tom Brady for years and they haven't really drafted up at the top, but they certainly need quarterback help. But there's all these teams here, Mike, like Minnesota 11, Denver 12. Maybe Peyton thinks that he can fix Wilson. I don't know. Maybe they decide that they aren't going to draft a quarterback at that spot and a little bit later on. But the Raiders are at 13. So there's teams that are just all back to back to back that kind of need a quarterback that could move up to that 4 spot if Arizona doesn't want to take a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr. or that 5 spot with the Chargers, as they're a team that could trade back. They have Herbert. They're probably looking for an offensive lineman. They certainly need wide receiver help, but they're fascinating to me as well. Do you feel like, before we get into Williams, do you feel like there is one of those three teams could potentially trade up with Arizona or the Chargers at 5? Like, is that what we will see tonight? A trade up for McCarthy? For your point, you want McCarthy earlier, but maybe a trade up for May. Maybe McCarthy goes 2 or 3, and all of a sudden teams are like, listen, wow, May is available. Will trade to move up to 4 or 5 to grab this guy. Like, do you feel like we're going to see that tonight?
Everyone has to have their own angle and perspective on how this is going to go. I was kicking myself last year. There was no chance that the Texans were passing on a quarterback. This was discussed up and down. They said Will Anderson. Remember, Will Anderson was the favorite to go there because you have to think like an owner thinks in a franchise. So I'll go through a couple of those teams really quick. Number one, the Patriots, historic franchise, legendary. Bob Kraft now getting complaints and getting some heat from the fans. He does not want to pick 3 again. They are not trading that pick. I don't see the Patriots doing it. They need a quarterback. They are locked into getting a really good franchise quarterback, one of those 3. I don't think they're trading at all. Now let's go to Arizona. Call me contrarian, Chris, but we saw the video of Monte Austin-Fort making all those trades last year. So everyone think they're wheeling and dealing. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a heck of a wide receiver, and he's a pivot point for them that they can put out there. Is it Michael Wilson? Is that who they're going to go with? They just lost Marquise Brown. I think they stay there and they don't trade. Now, the interesting one is the Chargers. You got Jim Harbaugh living in a van, an RV, on the beach, down by the river. That type of guy takes an offensive lineman. Think back, Chris, to his two San Francisco 49er teams. They were running the ball. Look at his Michigan team. Look at his Stanford team. He has Rashawn Slater. They need themselves a right tackle. I think it's Joe Alt. Although I will tell you this, there is a lot of movement today on J.C. Latham from Alabama. He has actually leapfrogged Joe Alt before we got on here to be the number five pick. I believe on DraftKings, he's at plus 275. Alt is dropped to plus 300. That just secures to me that they are taking a tackle, the Chargers. Could they trade back? Yes. Now, if the team that trades back with them, it's going to be Minnesota because Minnesota has the draft capital. They have everything they need in order to move up to get that quarterback. I don't think, and don't laugh at me for this, I don't think that Denver is going to take a quarterback in the first round because they took Zach Wilson. Now, you're going to laugh. But why would you trade for Wilson when you had Stidham? Why would you do that?
Right.
Because you want to have a third quarterback. Like if you knew you were getting a quarterback,
right,
you knew you were going to trade up, why make that trade? It doesn't make any sense. So I do believe that Peyton, who's, you know, obviously very successful, cocky guy, I can fix the quarterback. We're not going to force it. I think the Raiders take Penix. I think Penix is the perfect fit for the Raiders. I had him since my first mock going there. So the teams you watch out for, I don't think Denver's trading. I think the Raiders are happy where they are. I think the team is Minnesota. And if they trade up, Chris, I think they're getting with the Chargers. Last thing I'll say to you, do I think the Giants could take a quarterback? Yes, but it would have to be Drake May, and it would have to drop to them at six. They are not trading up for J.J. McCarthy. You know as well as I do, it takes a lot of draft capital to go from six to four or even more. So I think if May falls, they could take him. Other than that, I think they're taking Malik Nabers.
Great analysis there. A couple things. Penix Jr., there were some reports that the Giants may go after him, and Jake just had a fit yesterday on the Sirius show. It's like, it's not going to happen. I'm with you. I think that the Raiders take him with that pick. They can just be able to take him at 13. Latham is, I think he's going to be the pick. This is a hell of a ticket here, Adam Szymanski.
Adam, great call, man. Great call.
Fifth, are you kidding me? You mentioned plus 240 at DraftKings. Alt is 3-1. So the reason I think Latham is kind of what you said. Like, he plays on the right side, bookend to left tackle Slater. I think he's more of a powerful blocker than Joe Alt, but I think both guys are, I mean, I think they're both phenomenal. I just lean that way. As for Alt, I mean, he only allowed two sacks in the last 2 years, and he's a guy that can protect the blind side of Will Levis or obviously Herbert, but I think maybe he goes to Tennessee, and the Titans certainly are going to go offensive lineman. 64 sacks they allowed last year, the fourth most. Andre Dillard has gone from that team. So, I mean, if you get that one, good for you. I still think plus 240 for Latham is pretty interesting, and then Alt is at 3-1. So let's, before we actually officially bring up your mock, I do want to, before we share with everybody, thoughts on Caleb Williams, expectations in year one. We normally don't see a quarterback who's going first overall set up this nicely, right? Mm-hmm. Remember Joe Burrow when he was first, it took a little bit of time. He turned things around pretty quickly in Cincinnati, but they drafted T. Higgins for him that year, and then they drafted Jamar Chase the following year, his former teammate at LSU. When we look at, I don't know, Bryce Young last year, what did they have on that roster? Nothing. They brought in a veteran, Adam Thielen. They drafted a couple guys, DJ Chark. It just, nothing really worked out. Caleb Williams going to Chicago already has a veteran, Keenan Allen, who is a nice safety valve. He's got DJ Moore coming off a career season, a good offensive line, three running backs on the squad, and Swift and Roschon Johnson, Khalil Herbert, Cole Kmet is a tight end. Like, this dude is actually set up to have some success. Do you think, like, is the upside top 12 right away in fantasy, or is he going to be overdrafted and people thinking like, well, CJ Stroud just had this phenomenal season, so he could have this season. I'm going to draft him as like a top 8 quarterback. Like, what's your thoughts and feelings? And we're expecting the Bears to pull the trigger and start the draft with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, you have to take Caleb Williams, Chris, because he's the only quarterback that's there right now that has everything. He can throw the deep ball. He's fast. He's got 4.5 or better speed as well. He can connect over the middle. He's a leader. He's a winner. He's produced. And he also has a little bit of the swag. You know, he's got the pink nails. He doesn't care. So he's got that attitude. He's the whole package. And that's why you take him. And look, they have great weapons there. They have DJ Moore. They have Keenan Allen. Now, the interesting thing is with that second pick, where are they going to go? I think, Chris, that there's a chance that Roma Dunze could drop. Now, if he drops there, would they take him? I don't think so, because I think you want to be able to compete next year. And I don't think that a Dunze addition to that receiving core is as necessary. Yes, I know Keenan Allen's old, but you have Moore, you have Keenan Allen, you have Cole Kmet, you have Gerald Everett, you have Swift at the back. You have a lot of weapons. So yeah. I don't think he makes enough of a difference, although it's intriguing to me, but I think he's going to do fine. You understand it. You're going to compete in the NFL in 2024. You got to have a big time offense. You have to be able to hit the short to intermediate routes. You have to have a signal caller. They get their franchise quarterback. They had Rex Grossman. They got to a Super Bowl with him. They missed on Aaron Rodgers. They had all these issues that occurred over the years. Josh McNown, et cetera. Like, I think he's the right pick. He has the arm. He has the intelligence. He has the production. He has the accuracy. He has the speed. I like the other quarterbacks as well, but he has the highest floor. He's the right pick. The Bears are going to be good. You know their defense is going to be good, and they have the weapons now to compete in that division with the ascending Green Bay Packers.
We'll have all our rankings live all week, and we'll be updating them nonstop. And on Monday, we'll really break it all down and talk about rankings and where these guys fit. But I think for me, like Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, like those are guys I would rather have. I mean, Stroud is going to be, I mean, he's getting drafted as like a borderline top five quarterback. That was before they acquired Stephon Diggs. And I think even Kyler, like I'll be interested in Kyler if they go Marvin Harrison Jr. or, and you know, got McBride there and Michael Wilson. So there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, Kirk Cousins could go outside the top 14 and he's in a good situation in Atlanta as well. So there'll be a lot of quarterbacks for you in single quarterback leagues. But Caleb Williams is set up pretty nicely here right off the get-go. Let's bring up your mock draft and we'll kind of go through this. We'll start up at the top with Caleb Williams here, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. So those three guys, man, I think Jaden Daniels is phenomenal as well. Of course, he had two beauties in Thomas and Neighbors on his squad. In Arizona, when he was quarterback with Arizona, he's mostly just using his legs, but he trusted his arm. He trusted his throws. Denbrook, who's the OC for LSU last year, is now the OC for Notre Dame. I heard him on Sirius XM radio this week, NFL radio, talking about Daniels' emergence and using his arm and trusting his arm and not just using his legs. And also really had a lot to say about Brian Thomas, who you have here at 28 to the Buffalo Bills, and saying that, listen, he, a lot of people knock him on his route tree and how it's not developed, but he said that there's multiple things that he can do. They just didn't ask him to do those things at LSU with Neighbors. Like he could run deep crossing routes. He led the nation in touchdowns at 17, mostly like some hero TDs and things like that. But he can do multiple different things. I think that would be a really good fit. We're jumping the gun here, but on LSU, there's a lot that they have to offer from round one. So you got Marv here after Drake May. So Williams, Daniels, May, boom, draft starts. Marvin Harrison Jr., pick four. To Arizona, and I think we could talk about him as a borderline wide receiver one, at least a high-end wide receiver two. Guy's got all the tools, and Kyler's a good quarterback there. And then, so you have the Chargers taking Alt. We just had that discussion back and forth, Alt and Latham, one of the two. I kind of lean Latham, but, you know, I think both like good odds, like little sprinkles, like plus 240 or plus 300 on both of those guys. I think we both agree that the Chargers are going offensive linemen, and maybe there's an offer there from a team like Minnesota, like the Raiders, that are aggressive and maybe getting McCarthy, or maybe they just fall into their laps. Like if you have McCarthy here at 11, like that would be a win for Minnesota. Like I'd like McCarthy. I know you like him. Good situation, great play caller in Kevin O'Connell, great weapons around him, of course, and Justin Jefferson and Hockenson and Addison, and maybe not trading all that capital and having them fall right in their laps would be a massive win. And I think we could feel pretty good about Justin Jefferson because he had good games at Nick Mullins down the stretch last year when Kirk Cousins was hurt, Mike.
Yeah, it's very true. And I didn't do trades in this one, Chris. I think the Vikings will end up with McCarthy. There is a chance that he drops all the way down there because I think once you get after the first few picks, I think there's a spot that he could continue to drop to get to them, or they trade up and get him. So I put him to Minnesota because I think that is the most likely landing spot if he does not go to. And you look at the way the rest of the draft falls. You have, I like Latu. I like him a little bit better than Dallas Turner. Everyone consensus building was saying Dallas Turner should go number eight to Atlanta. I just get skeptical, Chris, when everyone is saying that something is going to happen because historically that has been wrong. There's been some rumors that they like Latu better. Remember, Latu was medically retired from Washington when he was there. Then he transferred to UCLA, double-digit sacks last 2 years. So people were talking about, for the first time, not having a defensive player going in the top 10. Now there's actually two going in the top 10 in my mock. McCarthy is fine there. You see Penix at 13. The one that I'm lower on in that first half on the left side there is Brock Bowers. I think the GMs and the way the teams are run right now, I think they are going to be leery to spend early draft capital on a tight end after Hayden Hurst, after David Njoku took a while, after Kyle Pitts. And if you look at the Jets, they're in win now mode. Aaron Rodgers turning 41 first week in December. I don't know if Brock Bowers is going to come in and automatically dominate just because Sam Laporta was great last year. So that's my concern there. But yes, I see Latu. I see Turner. J.J. McCarthy, I think, is going to end up with Minnesota one way or another with a trade or otherwise. And then you can see the rest there in the first half.
So the Jets are very interesting to me at pick 10, because you just kind of alluded to it. Aaron Rodgers, what's his window? He's got like a couple years left in the NFL. He's coming off the Achilles. Everybody's, you know, talking about Brock Bowers. I agree with you. I don't think it's Brock Bowers. I know our guy Dane Martinez is a big Jets guy, and he was having a discussion with Jeff Ratcliffe and me in our Slack about what the Jets were going to do. And Jeff was just like, they're not taking Brock Bowers. It's not the pick for them. I think he had him going O-line here. You got Adunze, which I kind of lean Adunze as well. You know, even though they picked up Mike Williams, just add another weapon there. Mike Williams hasn't really been able to stay healthy over the past couple of seasons. And one thing with the Jets, I mean, the O-line, they did add some guys, right? Like Tyron Smith, John Simpson, Morgan Moses. Like, they added some dudes in the offseason to protect Aaron Rodgers. So I don't know if it's just like a slam dunk that they're going to go offensive line here. I agree. Like, I think Atlanta and Chicago are defensive players, right? Like, let's get some defensive players, especially the Falcons, right, Mike? This is a team that over the past couple of seasons, their first round picks have been all skilled players, Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson. They got Kirk Cousins there. So let's get some defensive players. Let's get a little bit deeper here in the, what would that do for you, with Adunze as a Jet? Would that make you shy away from, I mean, Garrett Wilson's still going to be a stud, but would it make you like Rodgers more with these three weapons?
Chris, if Adunze is there, I think the Jets take him in a second, because I think that's the type of player that can make an immediate impact with Aaron Rodgers. He has never been a guy. He's produced with mediocre tight ends. He's produced with Richard Rodgers. He's produced with JerMichael Finley. So I don't think that's an area of need. But if Adunze somehow falls to the Jets, I think they grab him right away. I think the other move is offensive line. Call it a knee-jerk reaction. But certainly after what you saw last year, protecting Aaron Rodgers can't be a negative. So he is the wild card. There's been some rumors that the Giants may like Adunze better than neighbors, which I think is intriguing, because you can get like plus 275, plus 300 odds on that. So definitely that's an option as well. And the Giants picks, usually the last few years, whatever the rumor has been, they have done the opposite. So Adunze is the pivot point that I think could make some people some money if they want to slot him into certain spots.
It's almost like the organization just wants to go another way. No. You think that that's a smart pick? We're going to do something else. Mm-hmm. We don't care about those rumors. The Giants are fascinating to me as well, right? I do agree with you what you said earlier. If May is hanging around, maybe they're aggressive to go get a guy like Drake May. Maybe McCarthy's probably not the answer for them. And Neighbors is a guy, like, we've seen Brian Daboll over the past couple of years with Wandell Robinson, Jalen Hyatt last year, trying to get a guy. This is an alpha. This is a man. He is, I wouldn't be shocked if he had a better career than Marvin Harrison Jr. I just think he's that good. Like, it's not a slight on Marvin, but it's Neighbors is like, he's got a mix of kind of like AJ Brown and like DK, explosive with the ball in his hands. I think he's just going to be a beauty in the NFL. Okay. So we dig a little bit deeper here, down the board. McCarthy at 11. We got Jared Verse. So I've seen him mock to, you know, he certainly could go to Chicago or Atlanta in there. And you alluded to that earlier, but I think a defensive player is the key here for Denver. And I think you make some good points. I mean, we're not laughing at you with Zach Wilson. I mean, they made the move. Maybe he figures he can fix him a little bit and fix him up. Maybe they decide to take a Spencer Rattler a couple rounds later, or something like that could happen. And then we got Michael Penix Jr. with the Raiders, starter right away. There was a question here from somebody. If you're still hanging around, Lee, we do think that Penix Jr. will be drafted in the first round. And that would make five quarterbacks for you. That would make five quarterbacks for you in the first round. And the prop is actually set at, 4.5, it's slightly juiced, right? Over 4.5 quarterbacks at -380, under 4.5 at +280. But you got five here with Penix Jr. going to the Raiders at 13. And is that a guy that you feel like you would you feel a little bit better about Davante Adams this year in redraft? Because he's, man, he's got a nice touch on that deep ball.
Chris, I go back to the Raiders when they took James Jett like 20 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
The Raiders take who they that is their style. They have a specific way that they like to win and draft players. You're dealing with Penix. He has a big arm. He's a winner, and he's an elite college producer. In what stratosphere do the Raiders not like that archetype of quarterback? Yes, he has some issues in the short to intermediate area of the field. Yes, that's how Michigan was able to beat them in the national championship game. I get that. But they need a quarterback. He's there. It's the perfect fit. He's got a big arm. The Raiders still do what they believe is their history and what is right. And that is the perfect player for them. I will also point out to you, Chris, I grabbed over 4.5 quarterbacks at -200 months ago. I thought it was an easy pick. And Bo Nix was his over-under is 32.5, right? So first round, basically, for Bo Nix. It was at +130. It is now -125 to go under 32.5. It's possible, Chris, we get six quarterbacks in round one.
Oh, I dig it. Man, Mike's been spot on in the value that you've gotten in a lot of these props that you're given today. Terrific. And the FTN crew and the family are going to be pretty happy when some of these cash for you. So Brock Bowers, this is where I would have him too in my mock at 15. I like this spot, actually. I don't believe that he's going to go to the Jets. We already discussed that. He's not going to go to any of those teams earlier that need offensive linemen and need some help defensively. And you look at some of these teams that already have tight ends, Minnesota, not going to do it. Denver's not going to do that. The Raiders are not going to do it. Last year they did Michael Mayer. The Saints are a team that I think could maybe, but I also feel like they're desperate at offensive line. You got to give some time for Derek Carr to make some throws. Your boy Carr, Colts there at 15, Brock Bowers. So, Bowers is a guy that can certainly do it all. Get a weapon for Anthony Richardson. I don't think that they're sold on Alec Pierce. I like Downs as a player. They were able to re-up with Michael Pittman Jr. But they've had just like multiple tight ends over the past couple of years that have just like just had flashes, like Moale Cox, just like flashes. Forget the other guys escaping my mind right now. But Brock Bowers would be immediate, I think, fantasy impact, even though Anthony Richardson is fairly raw as a quarterback. And we only saw a handful of moments from him last year. I think he had like four rushing touchdowns in like parts of four games. But getting a guy like Bowers, I think immediately for me, from a redraft standpoint, I'm already thinking like top 10 in this offense. What was your reasoning for mocking him to the Colts here? What do you expect if he doesn't land there?
Yeah, I like Bowers. I do. I just think when you're dealing in a draft that has potentially six quarterbacks and three quarterback needy teams, 11, 12, and 13, and has what I project to be over 9.5, I have 11 in my mock going in the first round offensive tackles. I just think tight end tends to drop off. Explain to me why people think that Brock Bowers is going that early because he's such a dynamic, athletic tight end. But no one's giving Tyler Newbin any love as a clear number one safety for Minnesota. Yes, he had the injury, but super athletic, super productive. And by all accounts, if Tyler Newbin doesn't get hurt, he is a round one pick. So I think people tend to focus now because offense sells, and they saw the impact of Laporta, and they saw what a dynamic tight end he's been compared to George Kittle can do. I just don't see that as a top 10 or top 12 pick. I don't think the Jets, who are in win now mode, win the Super Bowl because of Brock Bowers. I don't. It's not that he's not dynamic. He's a good, not a great blocker. I think it's just that's not the archetype that you're going to get. And you have seen teams whiff before. You want to blame Kyle Pitts on Arthur Smith. Let's see how he does this year. So that is my rationale. I like Bowers. I think he's a good chess piece. I would love him, Chris, to 18 for the Bengals, that sort of thing. But I think early on, you're looking at elite offensive tackles. You're looking at elite wide receivers. You're looking at elite quarterbacks. I don't know. Am I taking a tight end with the Jets with pick 10 when I can fortify my offensive line or potentially take Roma Dunze, a clear alpha wide receiver one? I don't think I am.
I agree. So what do you think of DraftKings here with Brock Bowers over 12.5 at +200? Under 12.5 at -250.
Oh, I hammered it. I went over and it's gone back and forth. And Chris, again, this is something where You have to marry. It's like poker. Everything in life is like poker. You have to marry the mathematical calculations with your instincts. Last year at this time, Chris, it was Will Anderson too. And then all of a sudden around 2-3 o'clock, everything went ballistic. I don't think they're going to take a tight end that early. I get it. And I look, and Adam, I understand there's certainly value. And listen, I bet Brock Bowers 3 if you gave me the right odds, but I don't think the Jets are taking him at 10. That much I'm certain on.
I like the over 12 and a half at plus 200, according to your mock. It's a cash. Yep. And I think he's going to fall as well. I would love, you kind of just brushed over it. I would love to see him with the Bengals, but I don't know if he falls that far. Okay, we continue here. We did gloss over a couple offensive linemen. I definitely think the Saints are in play. We talked about the Chargers, talked about the Titans and the Saints. So we're getting into like the offensive lineman territory here in the draft. We have the Jags going Arnold, cornerback here for Alabama, the best cornerback on the board, in my opinion. We have the Cincinnati Bengals going offensive line. We have the LA Rams going offensive line, Pittsburgh going offensive line, the Dallas Cowboys going offensive line. Mm-hmm. So this is where we start to see the offensive linemen here go in this draft. The Steelers, did you think at all about maybe mocking them to a wide receiver? I know you just you had a hot take there earlier about a trade, but we got to expect that the Steelers are going to address the wide receiver position this weekend.
Yeah, it was a couple things that put me there, Chris. Number one, I wanted to put Brian Thomas there. I was curious about that, but I think this is a deep draft with wide receivers. I listen to Jeremiah. I listen to Schrager. I listen to McShay. I listen to all the comments that are being said. Six people called Daniel Jeremiah yesterday and all talked about trading up for an offensive lineman. Well, there's a residual effect. That means that we're not taking a wide receiver. I think wide receiver is deep. I think Ladd McConkey versus Xavier Worthy versus Brian Thomas, take your pick. But in the end, that was why I bumped him down. You want an offensive lineman. The Steelers have succeeded with offensive linemen. They're in the AFC North. They're in the black and blue division. They're playing the Ravens, et cetera, et cetera. You got to protect the quarterback, especially now when you have a veteran in Russell Wilson or a guy in Justin Fields who you don't want to be running all the time. You want to be able to save him a little bit and have him more of an efficient quarterback in the pocket. So that was my rationale. I thought about it. I did, but I ended up dropping it. If you notice, by the way, I really want to put Tyler Newbin in Green Bay at 25 because they need a safety badly. But because his odds kept rising and he's now plus 700, I went with Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback from Toledo.
I love it. It's a good call. man, these offensive linemen too, like, excuse me, a lot of them are studs. I'm going to butcher all of their names moving forward as well. Like Olimoyi Wu is a fun name to say. We got him going to the Saints there at 14 from Penn State. That's Fashanu. And then we have Fo'o'atano of
Fatato.
Okay, of Washington. I just had all these pronunciations sent to me from Sirius today, and it's just like, yeah, make sure I won't butcher any of these. And then Fuga'u. Fo'aga as Talisi is a fun name to say as well. Can't say all these five times fast, but I'm going to try my best throughout the draft process as well. But I think all three of those guys are actually in play for the Eagles to potentially trade up. And I wanted to get to them as you have Philly at 22 here, taking Cooper DeJean, cornerback there. And they definitely need to address this position. But I saw you talk about the Eagles in your draft previews. And one thing we've seen from Philadelphia with Howie Roseman is they like to trade up. They like to trade back, but they also like to address the trenches. So I think it's possible there's some reports that they could move up to take a corner or an offensive lineman. I think they're fine. They knew that Kelsey was retiring at some point, right? Like Cam Jurgens is a guy that they drafted a couple years ago. I still think that Lane Johnson has a couple more years left, but they could maybe draft his successor. But you feel like, what was their conversation like when you talked about the Eagles? And I think you had Mr. Wolf on, right?
Yeah, he said there's three areas of need that the Eagles are looking at: defensive back, linebacker, and wide receiver. So, Chris, we could throw wide receiver out because I just don't think they're taking one there unless they trade it up. But I don't know if Howie's going to trade up for a wide receiver. So I think part of their success 2 years ago was that elite secondary. And that, to me, Chris, was one of the most underrated things that no one talked about: the drop-off of the pass coverage from the Eagles from last year to this year. DeGene is a great athlete. You've seen dunking. You've seen him at basketball. Elite athlete. He can cover. He can hit. That is the type of player. And again, I don't project trades because I just think it's too hard to do. And I think more often than not, sometimes you don't get the trades right. If Philly stays, I don't see a back-end offensive lineman for them. If you can look at that right now, I would have, before they picked, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 offensive linemen going. I don't think they're going to take the sixth guy there. I think they're more likely to say, you know what, let's get ourselves an elite cornerback, which I think is Arnold, I think is Geit, I think is Arnold, I think is Mitchell, and I think is Cooper DeGene. I think those are both great options here. So I put him there because of his versatility in the secondary.
Where do you have Talisa? Where am I not seeing him right now? So we have Fashanu is at 14 with the Saints, and then you have Fuaga with
Fuaga should be to the Seahawks at 16.
Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. It's the banner. Yeah. It's the banner that is, it's like, where is this guy? There it is. Okay. So yeah, those three guys are super intriguing to me. Like Fashanu, you have to New Orleans, and then, so Fuaga is there to Seattle.
Yep.
And then,
and the last one, Chris, for 32 for Kansas City, they met with Kingsley Suamataya very early in the process, multiple meetings, dinner. All reports were it went well. Then Rashee Rice had the issue, and everyone just sort of jumped the gun to say that they were going to take a wide receiver. I get very leery of the knee-jerk plug and play. I think with the Bills, it's a good call because I think it's so glaring of a need. But let's say Rashee Rice is suspended for 3 games or 4 games. I don't know if that's a need you have to address at 32, and you know they have to protect Patrick Mahomes. They've liked Suamataya from BYU. They had him locked, really. And then because of the Rice car incident, the odds flipped. If you notice, I think it's flipping back the other way. That's why I put him at the last spot there. That, my friend, is offensive lineman number 11 in round one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm counting them here as you're talking. 11, we said maybe 12. Aoutanu was the other guy I was looking for there to the Rams at 19. I could see them maybe going edge or Murphy if they're there, you know, to replace Aaron, who they just lost. But this is where we get into the offensive lineman, the over 9.5. You got a better number. It's still juice, but I still like it. So you got 11 here in this draft. And then we'll just wrap up here with the mock. And then I want to just maybe get a couple of your favorite props and some things for this evening. But we talked about Brian Thomas there. The Bills are favored to take a wide receiver at minus 280 last I saw at pick 28. There's going to be certainly some options there for Buffalo if they decide to go that way. And then Ladd McConkey to San Fran. And that would, if that happens, then you can just start speculating on Brandon Ayuk and where he could move and get traded from the San Francisco 49ers, because there'd just be a lot going on there all of a sudden in the wide receiver room. I know Jake likes him a lot. He's terrific. Both of those guys would have fantasy relevant right off the hop with those two teams. And so the Chiefs, I do feel Mike will address I think they have to, don't they, take a wide receiver? I mean, with Rice getting multiple games coming up, nothing from Sky Moore, nothing from Kadarius Toney. Watson was second among wide receivers in terms of catches and yards, and he only had like 27 grabs and 400 yards. So I think they probably address the position, but it doesn't need to be, I think, at that pick. And no matter what, whoever they pick, you know that people are going to overdraft them, whoever that player is.
Yeah, they can get a wide receiver, Chris, in round 2 or round 3. They have picks there, 64, 95, I think it is. It's just there's a clear line of demarcation with the offensive linemen. And I'm an old school guy. You know that. You win in the trenches. If you look at the path, you win in the trenches, offensive line, defensive line, pass rush. And then also, what type of quarterbacks are teams taking right now? If they're looking for a quarterback, they don't need the Matt Stafford big arm guy anymore. They look for Brock Purdy. They look for J.J. McCarthy. So what you're looking for in offense is not necessarily the home run threat. The Chiefs already have that, obviously, in the legend himself, Patrick Mahomes. So what's the priority? To me, he's one without Tyreek Hill. You know Rashee Rice is going to be there this year. They do have other weapons. You can address it around 2 and round 3. What you cannot address is the brick wall that's in front of Patrick Mahomes. And that's why I think at the end, you take the offensive tackle with the last pick in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, I know Hollywood Brown is there. I'm just not a big believer in his outlook, like his future. I mean, sure, he could be okay this year, but I think maybe getting a wide receiver at some point in the draft is something that I do feel like the Kansas City Chiefs will do. And yes, Lee, we did talk about that earlier. Mike glossed over it, but it was a hot take in the at the start of this show. McConkey, I guess if Ayuk is traded, and it's something that he did expect, it's a bold take, and I like it. I'm here for it. Traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We could see what would happen there. I mean, that would be a splash, sir, if we did see something like that. There's no question. But there's obviously a lot of great wide receivers here. Xavier Worthy's a guy that I like. Keen Coleman's a guy that I like. McConkey, you got going fairly early there. So Xavier Leggett is a guy that's got a ton of speed as well. He's a freak of nature. Ratcliffe's got him down here at 14. His player comp is actually Sammy Coates, which is interesting. But I think Leggett from South Carolina is, I think he's going to be a good player in the league. And Xavier Worthy for Texas is a guy that kind of reminds me of like a little bit of Ayuk and CeeDee Lamb. I think he's got a lot to offer as well.
Yeah, Worthy's the one I may have missed out on. I submitted my mock, of course, to the Hull Report competition last night by midnight. Worthy started moving very quickly. I think he's down to minus 170, minus 180 to go in round one. So that could be a guy as well who could end up on the back end. And that's the key, is you can find these wide receivers late. They're there. And Chris, don't underestimate two things. Number one, it's a copycat league. Who did the Niners see running all over the place in the secondary last year in their division? Puka Nacua. Okay. Yeah. Fast, good, great route runner, great hands, same type of player as Ladd McConkey. And then look at their, and also don't underestimate the cockiness. There are teams and coaches, these NFL guys, these have an ego. They think they can fix problems. They think that Michael Penix, they can fix him over the middle of the field. They think they can win with a conservative quarterback or with a series of receivers. Kyle Shanahan has won with Deebo Samuel, with Brandon Ayuk, and he needs to replenish that war chest of players in the receiving position. I think Ladd McConkey or Worthy, whoever, is a great fit for them.
Yeah, Donnie Mitchell out of Texas is a really good wide receiver as well. It's a good wide receiver class. Like you said, you can get a really nice, if the Bills don't decide to do it in the first, or the Steelers or the Chiefs don't decide to do it in the first, they can address the position, you know, in the second round or maybe the third round. Is there anything, have you looked at the running back market at all? Because when I look at running backs and I'm seeing DraftKings, I mean, you had none there mocked, and I agree with you. I don't think there's going to be any taken in the first round. When I just look at overall at some of the odds here, where is it? Where did I have? Okay, so I just feel like you can maybe take some stabs. So the teams that I feel like need running backs, I mean, Dallas, the Giants, they need, Carolina may go running back. Blake Corum is plus 190 to the Chargers, of course, linked to Harbaugh. To the Giants, plus 330. Dallas, plus 750. Minnesota, plus 850. The Bengals at 12-1. When you just look at the first running back taken off the board, Brooks is minus 130, coming off the injury, expected to be ready to go. Maybe he would have creeped into the end of the first round if he was 100% healthy.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, period. Yes, exactly.
Right. Right. At the end, everybody freaks out. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Oh, Chief Brian Westbrook. He's going to be just like him. Hall of Fame. Put him right in there. That's the nonsense I heard when that happened. Andy Reid and running backs. Are you kidding me? This is the next Brian Westbrook. So Brooks is favored at minus 130. And keep in mind, it's kind of fairly raw. We haven't seen a whole lot from him. I mean, he played behind Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson there. So some good talent there. Trey Benson's plus 225 to be the first back. Blake Corum, 4-1. Marshawn Lloyd at 9-1. Jalen Wright at 9-1. And Braylon Allen, who we had Emory Hunt jump on the Sirius show this week, and he's a little bit lower on Brooks, but he said he wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Braylon Allen was the first running back off the board, and he's 35-1. Like, I think it could be worth maybe a little bit of a sprinkle on some of these other running backs, because I don't think anybody really knows who the first back's going to be, Mike.
Yeah, you know, what I would say is this. It's very hard. I think it's Brooks. Minus 130 is still good value on DraftKings. Chris, what I will tell you is this, and listen very carefully. We learned from Kyron Williams last year, you need to pay attention to the landing spot of these running backs in fantasy football. The New York Giants running back this year is going to win fantasy leagues. It's not going to be Devin Singletary the entire year. You're telling Audric Estime, someone like that can land there. Will Shipley, they can absolutely have a path. We all knew last year that Cam Akers wasn't locked in with the Rams. We all said it, but we didn't say Kyren Williams. And the person who won the Underdog Fantasy Best Ball $3.3 million prize drafted in late August. So what I will say is please pay attention to where these running backs are landing. Just because they're not going in round one, just because some of them are coming off of injuries, does not mean they can't make a fantasy impact. Ray Davis is somebody our Jeremy Popular has talked about a lot as well. I would not be surprised to see a round five or round six running back be a fantasy league winner, have a Deion Lewis-esque, a Kyren Williams-esque impact this year. So I'm very curious where players like Braylon Edwards, Braylon Allen, Jalen Wright, Audric Esmond, where they end up, because they can make a huge fantasy impact for us. Instead of running to the waiver wire, hoping to get Kyren Williams in week two, maybe you take a flyer on them late in your underdog drafts and you get yourself a league winner.
I think we can agree that Dallas is probably going to address the running back position at some point in the draft, and still a pretty decent offensive line, still going to be a potent offense as well. What, Rico Dowdle's on the team, Royce Freeman they signed last week, Royce Davis, so yeah. Royce Freeman still in the NFL.
I love Royce Freeman, but like,
but he's not going to be the starting running back in Dallas.
Yeah, and listen, Chris, don't be surprised if Blake Corum goes to the Chargers. Our own Josh Gross put that in the Discord recently, plus 170 to go the Chargers. You know, if he's there, he's going to use him. That's the type of player. Hashtag zero RB. I'm with you.
Yeah, zero RB. Address the offensive line. We already know they're going to run the football like maniacs there in LA. Poor Justin Herbert. He may only have like 350 pass attempts this season. Who knows if he's even a top 15 quarterback in fantasy. He hasn't been over the past couple of years with weapons on his squad. And they have the Baltimore Ravens backfield currently in J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards on the squad. I love it, man. I love Harbaugh back in the NFL. I get a kick out of him. He's aggressive and he's animated and he's a heck of a coach. Give him that. Anything on the way out here? One of your favorite props, or I know you've kind of alluded on a lot, you've touched on a lot of these throughout the show, but is there anything else you have for the people?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here still looking for Jaden Daniels. It hasn't moved, Chris. It's really unbelievable. But yeah, some of my favorite picks that I have, and obviously the juice is gone. The Seahawks, I think there's still value if you want to make some last minute bets on teams and their position that they're drafting. Seahawks taking an offensive lineman. Texans, I got early taking an offensive lineman. When in doubt, offensive lineman. Listen, I still think there's interest in Latham or Ault going five. If the Chargers don't trade out, I don't think they're taking a wide receiver. You want to do a Dunze over Neighbors. I think something like that is interesting. And we had the person who's listening talk about taking a flyer with Brock Bowers to certain teams in the top 10. I have no problem with that because the juice has been sucked out of most of my bets here. So what you're looking at right now is to try to find something that you think maybe is going under the radar. That is the one, Adam. Excellent call. Corum to the Chargers or Giants, or Josh Gross brought it up as well on FanDuel. That's the sort of thing I'm looking at. How about Frank Gore Jr., Josh brought up here, going to San Francisco later in the draft. There are some things there where there are value, but the ones that I really like, Chris, have been good. I'm fingers crossed here for 9.5 offensive linemen. That is my most invested wager on tonight.
Frank Gore and Brendan Rice, and of course Marvin Harrison Jr. I think we're getting old, Mike, when we start. Isn't the NHL too, this past year there was all these kids that were drafted and that I remember watching their dads get drafted in the NHL, but is what it is. Appreciate your time, man. I know you're super busy, like you like I said, you have not been sleeping, but I appreciate this. It should be a blast, right? We'll take care of the people over at FTM Fantasy with some live analysis. Clip's going to have his projections there. I love this call. Yeah, Corum to either the Chargers or the Giants is a special at plus 260 over at FanDuel. And I'm seeing at DraftKings plus 190, which I think is pretty good value too if you're a DK user, and plus 330 over there for Corum to go to the Giants. I'm going to take a shot at like Marshawn Lloyd at like 9-1. Or Benson at plus 225, just like little sprinkles, or even Corum at 4-1 as the first running back off the board, because I think it's some decent value. But Brock Bowers, over 12.5 picks at plus 200 is one that I'm going to ride here tonight as well. Mike, appreciate it. And we won't talk about Josh Doan. We did ladder him one night. Yeah, it didn't work.
You're killing it with your picks. Are you crazy?
Here and there for sure. Okay. All right, Mike. Appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for taking the time. Hit up Randall Rant. He'll have some last minute advice for you if you need to roll through a mock with your buddies or you're looking for some other draft picks and props as well. We'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good one. Cheers.